and welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast, our weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, nerdy soccer culture, fan outrage, cutting Eastern Washington commentary, and an attempt to understand the hottest soccer league not funded by foreign royalty, MLS. We're your hosts for mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and in the stats booth at Lumen Field before it was called that. He's Spokane Brandon.
It's actually Spokandon. Thank you very much. kind of like Minnesota Lunited.
Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts. Give us that rating.
Definitely 5 stars, and I haven't checked to see if we have one this week.
While Brandon's doing that, I'll say the next line. Primarily, leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Good news, we don't have any new reviews. thanks, everybody. Really saved me on that one.
Anyway, tell us your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
From New Who to Finger Wagiaga.
Man, that's perfect. This week, the 2020 Man City of MLS, Seattle Sounders FC, take on the Man U of America, Minnesota United FC. And at least they have FC, and it's not SC, and... it's a stretch, I know.
What makes us, I'm curious, what makes us the Sounders the 2020 Man City of MLS? And is there an equivalent Full 90 Soccer Time podcast for Manchester City that we should be, like, teaming up with? You know how, like, some cities have sister cities? Like, they need to be, like, our sister stupid idiots.
The reason I say we're the Man City, so first of all, MNU, it looks like Man U to me, so that's
every time I read it, I'm like, oh, Minnesota, yeah, or Manchester United. No, it's just
Minnesota United.
I thought you were going to say the MNU of America.
And so when I see that, then I'm like, oh, so how would we be Man City in that case for people to get wrong? I'm like, oh, runner up last year.
Oh yeah, there you go. Maybe they should be the MNU. Of the menu.
I'll have, excuse me, dog.
Sorry, that's my dog yawning.
I'll have the chicken tenders, please. we are a soccer team.
The menu of America.
That's perfect. I love the menu. Yeah. Hey, every time your dog yawns, does he make a noise like that?
Oh, yeah, big time.
I had this other dog and it died and it didn't do that ever. It was unrelated to its death, but it like would yawn and there would be no noise. And now my current dog, it like looks at me and it opens its mouth and it makes like this idiotic noise. I'm like, you're such an idiot. It's like,
my other.
It's always at 4 a.m. when I'm trying to quietly carry her out of our room and she won't get out of her goddamn kennel. That was a good nap, everybody.
My other dog does that. Like if you just like say her name and start talking to her, she goes. I love this podcast should just be us trying to recreate dog noises.
I'm in. That is what I'm here for.
Yeah, great.
Anyway, find out more about us on the Full 90, or about the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast at full90podcast.com. We've got a link tree, of course, links for Scuba Steve to our OnlyFans page, and so you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, everywhere else.
Where we post hot dog videos.
We sound like people doing bad Wookiee impressions. Yeah. 2021, a brand new season gets underway this week. Whoa! I got to give a massive shout out to Seattle Sounders FC, who still somehow consider us media, and let me attend to cover the match. Brandon, I went to the scrimmage. They did 2 scrimmages, the kind of the B squad against the San Diego Energy backup player. I don't even know how they have enough players to even
San Diego
feel that.
Loyal?
Loyal, is that what they're called?
I think so. I think the...
Who's the Energy?
The Oklahoma City?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, something like that.
I'll just have you know, the guy who went to cover it has had it wrong all week, so that's pretty
The guy
pretty
who,
good.
Like, used to be an announcer for a USL team. Can't remember what those USL teams are called. Dude, it took me a second, too, and I used to work for a USL team.
That's how we know each other, actually. Yeah. But there's a dog nose just sticking in through the... Just in the background, just a nose popped in. It was amazing.
Now it just sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So they bring me in to cover the first team, right? And I'm very excited to get to go. But I realize that it's a USL squad, and it's like not even the top tier USL, I don't think. I couldn't get that straight. I don't know. Anyway, it's
again, they consider us media.
Shut up. Dude, I'm so embarrassed though, right? I go, first of all, we go out for beers beforehand because that's what. And there's my buddy just opened a chicken place where Quality Athletics used to be. And so we went and sat outside, and it's awesome. You got to go. I wish I could remember the name, media.
What kind of chicken is it?
It's fried chicken.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Yeah, your buddy owns it.
Well, we're not like we are Instagram friends. I don't actually like know him very well. Friend of a friend.
Yeah, but enough to like grift some chicken off of.
I did not grift chicken. We just looked at each other awkwardly, pretended like we didn't know each other, even though we knew each other. You know that old game?
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, a couple beers beforehand, show up to, I'm just going so I can watch the match, so I can get a feel for what we're looking at. And I have some good observations and whatnot, but I show up and I forget how seriously some people take covering preseason soccer. And boy, am I embarrassed by what I showed up to. First of all, I know I've been doing this long enough that I know some of the Sounders. Like staff and whatnot. Okay, great. So, and from knowing you and everything. And so I show up and, oh, there's one PR person. And she's like, oh, okay, your seat's down there. Please stay your distance, all this stuff. Great. I sit down and there's some people to my left. And I'm like, hey, fellas. And they look at me like, excuse me? And I was like, okay, cool. Good to see you. They said hi. They were like, you know, professional. But I was like, all right, so we're not friends. Good. And then I look over to my other side. I was like, yep, don't know any of those people. Where is everybody? I text my friend Jose to be like, yo, you here? He's like, nah. I'm like, cool, cool, cool. I literally don't know anybody. And then I look and literally everybody has laptops and like stuff to cover the game. It's a scrimmage. You can't watch it online.
And you're like, luckily, boop, 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 open up Twitter so I can live tweet. And that is like my goal here.
I didn't even want to do that, but I was like, I got to look like I'm doing something, right? So Jeremiah, who I don't know from Sounder at Heart, he was at least streaming it on a webcam that he brought along with him. So, like, the Sounders didn't make it public, and who knows the reasons why they don't do that. But I wasn't there to – I thought I could, like, stand around, like, normal, kind of in the back of the press room and just kind of, like, watch what was going on while the professionals covered it. No. That was not the case. I'm sitting front and center, like, okay. Yeah, I should have done the finger wag and the thing. But it was a 1-0 performance from Seattle's – yeah, sort of first team. There was no Yamar, no Lodero, yikes. And a lot of characters that that we're going to miss this season, like the Gustav Svensons, the...
Well, Yamar played with the second team, right? He played down with the what you would consider the Sounder second team that was full of a bunch of youth players who played against that first scrimmage, right? Mm-hmm. I'm curious. I didn't watch the match. I barely followed our own live tweets. So I am curious why, or if that's a signifying what the Sounder starting center back pairing is going to be this year. Is it going to be Shane O'Neill and Arriaga? Because let me tell you, that is not where I thought things would go after last season. I thought Yamar was the rock. Right?
I don't think so. I think that the buzz in the press room was that it was going to be Yamar, Arriaga together in the in that. But who knows? I mean, what do any of us know, right? The one thing that they did is they played five guys at the back. So you had three center backs and then two wingers. Mm-hmm. And I could see them going O'Neill, Arriaga, and Yamar, three at the back there, and then having quick people on the sides and having Nuhu, our favorite, be kind of like a back to the kind of the super sub or, you know, only or backup role that he would have.
Well, it's there's been a lot of buzz about the Sounders changing the formation in the offseason. We are not real media, so we're not going to talk specifically about what that means.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But with the five guys at the back, really what you're seeing is a 3-5-2, which means that anybody who's going to be playing on that left side is really going to be playing forward when you're on offense and playing back when you're on defense. Nuhu, I will say, his offense was offensive last year. He actually started to get better. He started to get some really great crosses off. He kicked the hell out of a beer can in LA a couple years ago. So that guy knows how to use his feet.
But interestingly, watching this, Nuhu was kind of the standout of the performance for his maturity, had the standout performance of the game for his maturity. He stayed in position the whole freaking time. It wasn't until the last couple minutes that he made any advanced runs and then immediately dropped back to get back to the center back position he was playing.
It's as soon as you remove the bad influence of Roman Torres, all of a sudden everybody can stay in their position.
So it was wild, though, to see, like, what you're talking about is that he can play on the left side and Brad Smith can play on the left side and advance. And so they were playing like a fluid, I'm sorry to be so boring. It was like a fluid four at the back where when Smith would advance on the left side, Nuhu would step into that, the whole thing would shift over. So he would be kind of the left back then. And then if Alex Roldan advanced on the right, then Smith could drop back a little bit and they'd still kind of have four at the back. It was fascinating to watch to see how they're actually putting this into action. What I thought also was interesting is that whoever Jimmy Traore must be doing a good job getting through to some of these younger guys in the defense, because Arriaga's first half, he was so calm and cool. The whole time he had it under control. He didn't look like he was making any rushed, forced plays. He didn't look like he was about to do a finger wag and get a red card for some sort of idiotic, like his feet go in before his brain can catch up type maneuver. But I noticed something about him. In the second half, when Rui Diaz came on and the level of play for the team went up a little bit, he started to get more and more tense. And he gets into this like squat where he starts to like, his shoulders come forward. He starts to bend over like he's playing like a secondary in an NFL team where he's got kind of like got his hands up for like which way he's going to go and try and like make an interception or something. Yeah. He looks like that. And as that energy started to grow and he started to like shrivel into the little golem that he was becoming, that's when he commits a foul. He goes, no, no, no. The finger wag is right there. I don't know if it was full finger or not, It was like, that wasn't a foul. And I was like, oh, here we go. When the thing started to intensify, when it got a little bit more exciting, he had a harder time keeping it together. Or it's because it's the beginning of this, preseason, and he hasn't had the 90 minutes is still a lot to focus for. But that first half, he looked good.
I wonder, well, two things. This is against a USL team, so let's hope that when the Sounders go into an MLS season, Arriaga can keep his cool. The second thing I was going to say is I wonder if that formation, when you're playing in that formation, is there something that Rui Diaz is doing that kind of breaks up the vibe, for lack of a better word, in that back line, where all of a sudden things are moving a little bit faster, players are having a harder time shifting back and forth because maybe the ball is switching sides a lot more, and they're trying to figure out who's going forward and who's staying back and how is that back line swinging to support the offense. You would think that would actually help center backs, because if you're the center backs, you can focus a lot more on just staying home, letting those wingers on the outside go up, and you just shift over left and right, right? Maybe that's not the case when things are moving a little bit quicker when you add a Rui Diaz in, playing alongside, especially when Lodeiro comes back. You have Lodeiro, Rui Diaz, and Montero all playing on the field. You're talking some really quick play there.
I saw some talk on the... So Montero had an awesome scrimmage as well. I made the joke that he should get a job for Budweiser because his distribution is so good. Like he's not a number 10 player. He's not at the center of the field there creating the plays. He's not like he doesn't do that Nico Lodeiro or in a pinch João Paulo role where he's kind of the heart of where everything started. But his passing and his vision in the final third was really good in this. Now, again, you're playing against a lower level defender, so he probably can see the gaps a little bit easier. But he was so calm and cool and had his soccer sense seemed way better than the last time he was a Sounder, where he was just more aware of his role within this team as an older guy as opposed to the young hotshot.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to see, because he's really the Sounders. I mean, him, Kellen Rowe, I think maybe one... goalkeeper, like backup goalkeeper or something like that. Really the Sounders' only acquisitions since they lost MLS Cup by the largest margin in MLS Cup history. So that brings me to this point, which is MLSsoccer.com, MajorLeagueSoccerSoccer.com just released their preseason power rankings, and the Sounders came in at number 8. That's behind, by the way, a few places behind Minnesota United, who the Sounders play in the first match of the season on Friday. So this is what they had to say about the Sounders. They say, they're going to make MLS Cup. Why? Well, because they've gotten worse this offseason. Normally, that would be enough to keep them out of things like MLS Cup, but we all know how this works by now. And for Seattle, getting worse still means being better than most teams. Besides, they'll inevitably sign a game-changing player in the summer, João Paulo, for instance, correct course, and then thrive even without Jordan Morris, Gustav Svensson, and Kelvin Leerdam. They just will accept it now, and it will hurt less. I think that you're talking about, and we've seen year over year, hopefully not, but the Sounders having another pretty slow start to the season. You know, you've been playing one formation, yes, without Raul Ruiz Diaz because of green card and visa issues, right? But playing with Nico Lodero as your number 10, who, we haven't gotten to this yet, is going to be out with injury for at least 3 to 4 weeks. So you're talking about
missing... Do we know what's wrong with him?
I mean, hamstring, obviously.
Oh, confirmed.
Confirmed. Thank you. Thank you, Sounders Injury Generator. So you're talking about all of the sudden, right before the season starts, shifting who's playing where and trying to make up for the linchpin in your team. And so, yeah, the Sounders have gotten worse. And also because it's a odd year, it'll be Seattle versus Toronto in the MLS Cup final.
I don't have my sights set high on this team. I think that this is kind of a rebuilding year for them. The names that you just mentioned that are gone are big ones, and that's going to be hard to fill. I don't know anything about Josh Atencio, except for he made a couple mistakes when he was out there, but he was better than the entirety of San Diego. That guy is so good.
And this is Josh Atencio is Sounders youth player. Sounders youth makes it sound like you're talking about like the Nazi youth. He's a Sounders youth player who plays for Tacoma Defiance, and came through the Sounders Academy and is now one of the few players that's making it with Danny Leyva, Ethan Dabaler, into you know, contention to get some first team minutes, at least ride the bench on the first team.
Dabaler was another one of the names that was just kind of getting buzzed around in the press box, which I thought was interesting from people that pay more attention than we do regularly. His name came up, but I thought Atencio looked like he wants a spot. He looks like he wants to, and he's big. I didn't realize what a big guy is until I saw him playing amongst the, you know, the first team pros. He's a big dude. He could be a real force in the central midfield there as an extra little bit of defense or something, especially losing Gustafsson, and that's a big deal.
Josh Atencio is 19 years old. So I think that the more the Sounders are able to start playing, I had to just look that up, right? He's born in 2002.
Yeah.
God! Like, come on! He's from Bellevue, but he's one of those players who, if the Sounder, and we talked about this a little bit last week, Craig Wable.
Nope.
It's Craig Wable.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
It's now Craig Wable. And Garth Lagerwey, you know, at RSL, created a very high production youth pipeline from the RSL Academy to the first team. If this is the Sounders starting to realize some of those dreams of Wable and Lagerwey, the magic show. The Wobble Way magic show.
Wobble Way.
A Wobble Way. A Wobble
no,
Way.
No.
Sorry. but anyway, it'll be awesome to see. And even before any preseason, everybody was talking about like, well, the Sounders are going to suck. Let this be the year of play your kids.
Yeah. Play the babies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So what else we got?
So I was having some feelings going into the match this Friday, right? So I am having a hard time being able to properly analyze what this season is going to look like, or even think about what the season is going to look like. I think half of it is the fact that last season was such a weird, you know, nobody was in the stands. You know, there were new teams in the league. Things were happening, and it's just kind of hard for me to remember what that season looked like for the Sounders. Even I had to go back and look at the MLS Cup final, which I've tried to forget. I had to go back and look at how the Sounders even got there at the end of the preseason. Or sorry, at the end of the playoffs. And I think part of this has been summed up in a tweet by Grant Wall, who's a esteemed soccer writer, very bald, said, "One of my main thoughts heading into MLS season is there are now 27 teams in the league, and that is a lot of teams to have in a soccer league." And you know what? Yeah. Like the Sounder, like not just the Sounder, but the league is going to have by next season, I think 29, and ideally they would have had 30 because of Sacramento Republic. And I'm sitting here trying to be like, oh yeah, I forgot Nashville is in the league now. And then they're all of a sudden going to have Austin this year. And then the following year, Charlotte and St. Louis. And I'm like, I can barely keep track of the teams that are in the Western Conference right now, let alone, you know, 30 teams in a league.
Yeah, it's tough. It feels very American, right, to do that. If you're not going to do pro well, then you might as well stack up the two sides and never play all the teams and never really know who's doing what everywhere. It makes for a very MLB feeling to it, where I have no idea about any teams outside of the Mariners because there's just too much going on, and how could anyone track all of that?
Well, and we want to say, or at least I think most people would say, that the supporter shield is yes, the MLS Cup gets more coverage and maybe more attention, but the supporter shield is really the best indication of how good a team is at the end of the year. With 30 teams in the league, even right now with 27 teams in the league, you can't have a fair and balanced schedule, right? Like, you can't play everybody the same amount of times. You can't get a good feel for, like, who's going to win on a given
games?
Day. Exactly. It would have to be, right? I think the season is only 34 games, so you're missing however many games that could be a balanced schedule. So the Sounders, say any of these teams walk away with a supporter shield, Eastern Conference, I can't say what the conference, you know, balance is going to be this year, which conference is going to be better, but the worst conference, if you're a good team in the worst conference, you have a better shot at winning that supporter shield than the best team in a good conference.
Yeah, it's tough. It just changes the weight of everything. I guess you just got to accept it, right?
Yeah, and like really selfishly, at the end of the day, whatever, we get to watch soccer. I'm only going to care about the Sounders. But at the end of the day, very selfishly, this is just me having a hard time being like, who is that again? Like us having to preview games for this podcast, being like, I don't even know that that's a team that exists, let alone who's on it and who's good.
Are they playing USL teams now again? Yeah. Is this a scrimmage week? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is Minnesota in America? Weird.
Yeah, this isn't like an opinion about like whether or not we should have promotion and relegation. This is just more me being like, this is too much to remember.
I wonder how that affects the league, like the people in the front office of the league that are like, you know, it bled money last year, and suddenly you got all these new teams that aren't getting any exposure, and how do you keep them from fizzling out, and what do you do with Sacramento? And, like, there's so many variables that happen, and it's so much harder to manage. Even, like, the review show, if I want to watch that, 15 matches a week, that's a lot to, have to put in.
I have to devote half an hour?
Well, yeah, and, you know, I want to watch... But really, when, like, life stacks up, like... How are we supposed to take an interest in the league when it's too saturated? And I guess it's called the playoffs. You just ignore it till that happens and then go for it. Like all the other leagues in my life.
And that's the other thing is with all these other leagues, it's like you could have, you know, the Mariners, like in 2001, be the best team in baseball, one of the best in baseball history based on their winning record, and then not make the World Series or even pass the first round of playoffs, right? It's like the MLS Cup at the end of the day is not going to show you who the best team in the league was. It's going to show you who the best team right now is. And for the Sounders in both cases, that they didn't have stellar seasons when they won their MLS Cups. They just happened to be the hottest team at the end of the season.
To the point of the number 8 power ranking, we've gotten worse, but they'll be an MLS Cup, and I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not complaining. I've got two stars tattooed on me because of it. So it's like, can't take anything away from those cups, but it will be definitely a, I don't know. It's just going to be a lot to wrap our heads around when you have to start remembering like, who Charlotte City Town FCSC is.
Speaking of wrapping our head around it, just check this out. Seeing myself in the reflection there. Do you think I could pull off a Liam Neeson Qui-Gon Jinn Halloween costume?
100%. I think you should grow the beard out and go for a Obi-Wan.
Oh, but I think it's too long in the back already. No?
No, I think right now, I mean, who knows what it's going to be in 6 months, right? Where how long it's going to be, but you could get the Obi-Wan mullet cut and then grow the beard out. It'll be just in time for the new Obi-Wan series.
Perfect. All right, let's take a preview of this week's match. Match number one, Friday, 6:30 p.m. is what it's listed as, so kickoff could be anywhere between then and 9:30.
No, for the record, I have heard, I don't know if this is true, but I've heard that MLS has come out and said that they are going to start listing coverage times, which is what we usually get, which is like that 6:30 or 7 o'clock, they're actually going to start listing when first kick is, because they realize how pissed everybody gets when they have to like tune in at 7 and wait until 7:50 to get the first kick of a match.
Yeah, just so they can get their on the TV. Like, that's all it is that they want to, like, the pregame show brought to you by Audi. Like, I'm fine with Audi or whatever, yeah. But just, like, just
you
tell
have green
me what
screens
be.
For that right now. Who needs commercials?
We don't need a soccer ball. We've got ads in the stands.
They can just kick an Audi logo left and right.
please somebody make that happen. Anyway, the match is 6:30, maybe 7, 7:08, 6:51. Nobody really knows.
6:69.
Yeah, 4:20, 69. I'm sorry. Anyway, Minnesota United FC is in town. That means the return of Ozzy Alonso. Just a quick shout for him. I just went to his Twitter to see if he's indeed still playing, because he's now like 41 years old or something like that. He is.
Yeah, I know.
And the stats that he lists on his own Twitter, like, you can't mess with this guy. USL Rookie of the Year in 08, USL Best 11, MLS, MLS Cup, US Open Cup, Supporters Shield, Cuban League Champion, MLS Best 11, MLS All-Star, Team MVP, 13 MLS seasons, 13 playoffs. That's quite the record for a guy that we used to, you know, used to be beloved. To start the season having him here, I feel like the people that control the, it's not a script, but the, like, the rosters, what do you call it, the schedule, picked that on purpose, because there's a little bit of sentimentality involved in that. But anyway, it'll be good to have Ozzy come back and play here and slide tackle into some of our players and we get mad at him.
It's crazy. He left the Sounders to go to a non-playoff team, Minnesota United, and helped turn them into a playoff team. So he has never missed the playoffs in his history as a player.
Are there fans of the Lunatics? Is that a thing?
Oh, God, I hope not.
Yeah, I'm almost willing to guarantee that there's at least a subset.
Yeah. It's actually fun. So I was saying this earlier. I went back and looked at how the Sounders reached MLS Cup last year, and they had to play in the Western Conference Final. They had to play against Minnesota United, and Minnesota United was winning that game 2-0 in like the 70th minute, and the Sounders came back and won 3-2 without needing extra time. It was a crazy game. I barely remember it. And after watching that, the highlights, it all came back to me. But in those highlights, I had noticed a few times. So Christian Roldan always talks about Ozzy Alonso as his mentor when Ozzy was here. They play very similar styles. They're both, you know, heart on their sleeve, aggressive, great with the ball, but also great off of the ball. As defenders, as just like lock it down in the midfield. It was so awesome to see, and I hope that we get to see this on Friday, Ozzy Alonso and Christian Roldan battling in these duels, trying to just get the ball off of each other, slide tackling each other. I think that there's a lot of mutual respect there, and to be able to see those two players playing with each other is just, it's kind of cool from like a Sounders fan perspective. You get to see kind of the Obi-Wan and the Qui-Gon Jinn.
I wish they had the hair and robes. Minnesota's one of those teams that I like, when I see them play, I'm excited about it. I like Ozzy still. Their squad's fun to watch. I don't know why. It's just, they're not, most of the teams I absolutely hate, but when they're on, I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll give this a few minutes because they're fun to watch. What's, you know anything different about them this year? Have they made any additions or anything?
Well, so you're not alone. I feel, in those power rankings that we were reading earlier, and even, you know, across the board, a lot of MLS, you know, people who cover the MLS, like an idiot, like I don't even know this league, the MLS, stupid, shut up. People who cover MLS will say that Minnesota United is one of the more exciting teams to watch and have been over the last couple of years since guys like Ozzy Alonso, since they've started to what's his name, the midfielder who's really good.
Oh, that guy.
So people have right now in their rankings and their preseason predictions that Minnesota is going to be a Supporter Shield and MLS Cup contender this year. They almost made it to the Cup last year. If it weren't for the Sounders, they would have. But then they've gone and signed a guy named Ramon Avila from Boca Juniors. He's on loan, and he is apparently going to be their new star forward. They have this new French guy that I don't think is technically signed yet. But so for right now, Ramon Avila is going to be the guy for the Sounders to keep an eye on, because I don't know if he's playing in this first game. He might be a little bit like a Raul Ruiz Diaz, where he didn't spend enough time with the team in the preseason. But there's a good chance that you see him out there. He might just be that good that he doesn't need to, you know, have a bunch of preseason clicking with all of these other guys. But
is it Reynoso?
Reynoso is the good midfielder that I was trying to talk about. So those two guys together is a little bit like a Nico Ladero, Raul Ruiz Diaz. If you're the opposing team, you don't really want to see those guys clicking with each other.
You see a lot of finger wags if that happens.
No, please don't play. The other thing to think about is last year in that crazy, stupid MLS game where the Sounders came back to beat Minnesota 3-2, the people who changed that game the person who changed that game was Carl Gustav Svensson. He came in, once he was subbed in, the Sounders scored all three of their goals. He had an assist on one, and he scored the third with the header. We don't have him anymore at all. He's not on the team anymore. That was when Alex Roldan, who played well because Kelvin Leerdam was recovering from an injury, he was okay, but he got yellow card in the first like 5 minutes, and then and then Kelvin Leerdam came on closer to the end of the game, and like all of a sudden you were like, okay, the Sounders are fine, right?
Yeah, that was when, and then Schmetzer goes and plays Roldan over Leerdam in the final.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, he had a terrible game. You're like, well, we won with him on the field, so let's play him anyway. Like, no.
Yeah, you right? once you took him off the field.
Yeah, Leerdam didn't start the final, right?
No. It was Roldan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, it's just you're looking at, you know, like the power ranking said, the Sounders have gotten worse in the offseason. At least on paper, they've gotten worse in the offseason. So you're going in there with an essentially different team. Will Bruin scored one of those goals in that game, and with Ruiz Diaz out for most of this preseason, Will Bruin is going to be, you know, hoping as an MLS veteran, hoping that he can stand in there and compete for not just like replacing Raul Ruiz Diaz when he can't play, but compete for a starting spot. Not to replace him, because I don't think that you can really replace a Raul Ruiz Diaz.
No.
But to play alongside of him, right? But so him and Montero are going to be really duking it out for that second forward position. And so Will Bruin is going to want to go, you know, kind of big time and just dunk on as many Minnesota United defenders as he can, just to prove that, like, hey, Freddie Montero will not be dunking on anybody. Freddie Montero is Spud Webb. I am not.
But they've been so good together. Excellent Spud Webb reference. I'm amazed. The two of them together, though, have been so good. So if you don't have Ruiz Diaz start, I imagine you got to have him at least in the game at some point. But Montero and Bruin together have been really solid. So hopefully there's something to come from that. I don't know. It worries me. The squad doesn't have the same sizzle once you take a... Ruiz Diaz off and then no Ladero. I think it could be a tough few weeks to start the season off. And that's okay, though. If it's not, then they'll surprise us.
Yeah, and like we said, Nico Ladero's a 3-4 week injury. I think one of those weeks has already passed. So we're talking, now a 2-3 week from recording injury. So there's a chance that he's back by week 3 of the MLS season, which, because we're not real media, we don't know who they're playing and when that might be.
If anyone wanted, there's plenty of podcasts you could follow for that if you want, right?
Yeah, as one of our reviews at one point said, I didn't listen to any other podcasts except for these guys because they don't know what they're talking about.
I don't think they said don't know what they're talking about. I think they said that we're not,
They want a break from the other nitty-gritty. They understand tactics, questionably, but they prefer to focus on the culture and deliver some needed laughs along the way. Like Wobble Way. I made that up.
Sounds like a toy you'd get for you can't find it at Christmas.
What are they, like the Weebles?
Weeble right? Wobbles?
Weeble Wobbles. Yeah, there you go. It's the Wobble Weeble. It's the Wobble Way. The Logger Wobble?
All right, the match is Friday night, 6:30 maybe, at Lumen Field. Seattle Sounders FC welcome Minnesota United FC. Brandon, take a look into the swirling effervescence that is the Crystal Pepsi ball and tell us what you see.
This is the worst. I feel like I haven't watched soccer in so long that it's I've been watching, you know, Premier League and whatever, but like I haven't watched any of the Sounders preseason games. I've hardly even watched the highlights, so it's hard for me to know like what's real, you know. And so even looking into the very clear Crystal Pepsi ball and it's all swirling effervescence-ness, I don't freaking know what a goal is anymore. I'm gonna say the Sounders win 1-0 with a goal from Will Bruin.
Damn, that's a great call, dude. I think that the defense is going to surprise us and that we're going to get a very, at least mature first half out of the team. I'm going to say it's going to be disappointing American soccer. The Sounders are going to win 6-0.
By a touchdown.
Yeah, can't even make the extra point, idiots.
With 6 goals by Will Bruin?
Yeah, that's fair. That seems right.
Just so you know, this year I'm going to try to keep track of how our predictions actually do, just so we can, for once,
start
be like...
Start a spreadsheet!
I'm going to start a spreadsheet, which we will forget to update after literally 2 weeks.
I doubt we'll even remember to start the spreadsheet, to be fair, but...
Somehow Kelvin Leerdam is going to win Golden Clog again.
Because I haven't taken it off the sheet from last year's template? Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, in case this podcast was way too long and you didn't listen, it's too long, didn't listen. Too long, didn't listen.
The Sounders are worse, but that makes them better?
Hey, man, in MLS, anything's possible. Just ask the Wizard Bird.
Oh, Wizard Bird. All right, too long, didn't listen.
After being embarrassed in the press box the other day, I need to ask my mom for a new laptop. Too long, didn't listen.
So stupid.
This podcast is so f-ing dumb.
I know.